This is the calling of Jeremiah to be God's prophet. And we can learn a lot from this because, as we talked last week, God has a will for every one of his children. He has a plan for you if you're one of his children, and he wants you to fulfill it. And I believe that if we will surrender to him and seek to accomplish his will, he will do great things through us. But it all comes down to willingness. Thank you, my brother. Sorry about that technical difficulty. It always happens at the worst time, but that's just life. And so let's look at verses 5 through 10 of Jeremiah 1, if we could, and see what we can learn from this passage today. God says, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, O Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child. For thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant." So our title is going to be from verse 7, "For thou shalt go." Let's pray. Dear Lord, we love you and we thank you for the privilege of assembling here this morning in the name of Jesus Christ around your precious word, and pray the Holy Spirit would take this amazing book and apply it to our hearts today. Lord, may we as Christians be willing to fulfill the amazing calling that you have in each of our lives. Lord, if there's someone in our service not yet born again by the blood of Jesus, may they realize that Christ died and rose again out of his love for them and offers them eternal life if they will but come to him. So, Lord, your will be done in our hearts. We are grateful and give you this time and ask that you be glorified in it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I just want to point out a couple beautiful truths from this passage that we can apply to our own lives as God's children. And the first one there from verse 5, and probably one of the most important, is God knows us. God knows us intimately. He knows everything about us. He knows our weaknesses. He knows our failures. But he knows us personally. And that should be comforting for Christians. Amen? That God isn't just afar off, just kind of letting things happen. But God knows us personally. God watches over us. God is involved in our lives. He is sovereign. And as he said to Jeremiah, "I knew you before you were even formed in the belly. I knew thee." That's beautiful, isn't it? And there's a great truth there as well for the proof from Scripture. And there's plenty of verses that teach that a person is a human when they're conceived. And we all believe that as Christians. But God knows you. God knows everything about you. There are no surprises. Remember when God tried to call Moses and Moses said, "But Lord," a lot like Jeremiah, "I can't speak well." And God's response was, "Who made your mouth? Of course I know you're not a great orator. I knew that before you said it. And I still want you to be my leader. I still want you to go and rescue my children from Egypt." And if God is calling you to do something, he already knows your weaknesses, but he's already promised that he'll be with you. Amen. As he promised Jeremiah, as we'll see. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:19, "The Lord knoweth them that are his." God knows us personally. And that should be an encouragement to each one of us as we contemplate, what is God's will for my life? What does God want from me personally? Not corporately, but me personally. What does he want me to do? If God is calling you to do something, he already knows you. He knows all of your past. And by the way, he knows all of your future. but he knows you. And then we see in verse 5, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. What we see here is that God has a plan for us. Every believer, God has a plan for your life. Now, last week we looked there in Ephesians 5, where the Bible says, understanding what the will of the Lord is. We are commanded to know the will of God. And we were shown in that passage that to be able to hear and understand the Word of God, we need to be in the right place spiritually. But He does have a plan for us. Each one of us, He has a special plan. Are we fulfilling it? Do we know what it is? We're commanded to know it. And like we saw last week, Ephesians 5:17, understanding what the will of the Lord. Do you know God's will for your life? And are you fulfilling it? But He has a plan. And He said to Jeremiah, I sanctified you, or I set you apart for my ministry as a prophet before you were even born. Think about that. While you were still in the womb, I decided you, Jeremiah, are going to be one of my great prophets. And he was. We went through the book of Jeremiah a few years ago, and what an amazing man he was. God has a plan. But how many times when we understand more about what God wants from us, do we respond like Jeremiah and try to tell God why we can't do it? Look at verse 6. Then said I, O Lord God, behold, I cannot speak. Hold on. God just said, Jeremiah, I set you apart. Jeremiah, I've called you to be a prophet. This is what you are going to do for me. And he says, I cannot speak. So think about what he's actually saying. God, you're making a mistake here. Yeah, you're telling me that you've already called me to be a prophet, but prophets speak and I can't speak. A lot like Moses. Same thing. And let's look at that, Exodus chapter 3, verse 10. Very similar excuse, if you want to call it that, from Moses. Exodus chapter 3, verse 10. Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. This is when God said, I have called you, Moses, of all the people in the world and of all the Jews that exist, I am choosing you to be the one to go in and rescue my people out of Egypt. What's his response? I'm not eloquent. I am slow of speech. I'm of a slow tongue. And God went on to say, Moses, I made your tongue. You're not telling me something that I don't already know. And how many times do we try this with God? Oh, God, I'm too shy. God, I don't have the right personality to do what you're calling me to do. If God's calling you to do something, He already knows all of this. And He has a plan. And our response should never be, I can't do it. And that's our third point, is it disappoints God when we say we can't do what He's called us to do. And yet Christians do it all the time. Isaiah tried it. Look at Isaiah chapter 6. So it's not like a one-off thing. This is a very common thing. When God calls people to do things, they immediately try to think of reasons why they can't do it. Isaiah 6 verse 5. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. This is when God was saying, Isaiah, I'm calling you to be a prophet. And his response was to say, but I'm a sinner. Well, guess what, folks? We're all sinners. And if God wasn't going to use sinners, then he would use none of us. And if he would only use people that didn't have flaws and faults and sin from their past, he would use none of us. And yes, the immediate response for most people, especially when they're called to be in the ministry, is to think, you know, I'm just not worthy. That's the typical response. I remember when God was calling me when I was working for Boeing a long time ago, back in the 80s. My first response was, well, someone else, Lord. I'll just go make good money. I promise to give heaps, but not me. I'm not a public speaker. I definitely don't want to be a preacher. I'd rather just go design airplanes. And, you know, God didn't let up. But my initial response was, no way. I am definitely not a preacher. I'm definitely not worthy. I'm definitely not a public speaker. And probably still am not. But still, you know, God won that battle. There shouldn't be a battle. That's the point. If God has a plan for your life, He's already knows all of this. He already knows where you're weak. He knows the mistakes you've made. He still wants to use you as His child. And He says to Jeremiah, say not, I am a child. There in verse 7. You know what He said to Noah? To Moses? Who hath made man's mouth? After Noah gave his excuse. And then if you look at 2 Timothy 1, the Apostle Paul talks about this spirit of fear. And let's be real, that's probably the number one reason why Christians don't do what God's called them to do is fear, which we'll address in a little bit. But notice Paul here in 2 Timothy 1:7, God hath not given us the spirit of fear. So if you have fear, it didn't come from God. That's what he's telling us. How many times in the scriptures was told to fear not? I've never counted them, but I know there's a lot. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it, the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:24. God has a plan for your life. God knows you. And God is disappointed if you try to give up excuses for not fulfilling his plan for your life. Verse 7 of our passage, this is our title. Say not, I'm a child, for thou shalt go. And my friend, he says the same to us. I have a plan for you. Go do it. I don't want to hear excuses. I don't want you to run the other way like Jonah did. I want you to go do it. Go do what I'm calling you to do. Thou shalt go. Amen? What did Jesus say to his disciples before he left this earth? In every gospel, but to go. Amen? Matthew 28, go ye therefore, teach all nations. Mark 16, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Luke 24, that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations. John 20, sorry, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. Every gospel. Then we get to Acts. Ye shall receive power, what? And ye shall be witnesses. Last thing he told his disciples was, I want you to go. And then if you look at 1 Corinthians 9:16, the Apostle Paul, who was called later than the other apostles, look what he says here in 1 Corinthians 9:16. He says, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. Look what he says, for necessity is laid upon me, yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Now, Paul was faithful. Praise God. He got to the end of his ministry and said, I've kept the course. I fought a good fight. But was Paul a sinner? Yes. Would Paul have been weak at times? And rather just say, you know, this is too much. I've been in prison too many times. I've been beaten with whips too many times. I've had enough. Of course he would have been tempted to quit. But he never did. He said, necessity. I have to do what God's called me to do. That is true for all of us. What does God want from you? And are you doing it? So God says, go. But then in verse 8, he begins to encourage Jeremiah. Let's go back to our passage there. And this is the exciting bit. Because whenever God calls his people to do something, he doesn't say, go, and I'll see you when you get to heaven. He says, go, and if you will go, I will be right there with you the whole way. Hallelujah. So verse 8, be not afraid. That's his first encouragement to Jeremiah. Jeremiah, I heard your excuse. I'm not going to buy it. Go. Number one, don't be afraid. That's the number one reason why most Christians don't do what God's called them to do. They're afraid. And what does it say in Proverbs 29:25? Let's look there. Just as one example. But again, I mentioned it earlier. How many times are we told, fear not? Isaiah 43:5, fear not, for I'm with thee. And we could go on and on where God says, don't fear, fear not. What's the opposite of fear? It's to trust. But notice Proverbs 29:25, the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. David said, I will not fear. What can flesh do unto me? In Psalm 118:6. Or 56, sorry. And then in 118:6, what can man do unto me, he says. And then that's quoted, look at Hebrews 13:6. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 6. And so when God says to us, go, stop making excuses, but he also says to us, don't be afraid. You know, when God called Jeremiah, Israel was already in a really bad state, as we remember when we went through the book. He was the prophet that bridged before and after the final captivity. And Israel was already spiritually pretty much gone. And so here, God's calling him to be a prophet to Israel. And by the way, for the most part, they did not care what he had to say. He ended up in prison for what he had to say. It wasn't an easy life for Jeremiah. But notice Hebrews 13:6, that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear what man shall do unto me. I will not fear. So God says, go, no excuses. I've already set you apart. I've already got a plan for your life. I want you to fulfill it. Number one, don't be afraid. Or point number five, however you want to look at it. So point number one, God knows us. Point number two, he has a plan. Point number three, he's disappointed when we try to make excuses. Number four, he says, go and fulfill my plan. And number five, don't be afraid. Well, what else does he say? Verse 8, Jeremiah 1, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Again, when God tells us to go, he doesn't say you're on your own, does he? Even in Matthew 28, the Great Commission, Jesus says, go, teach all nations. But what does he say in verse 20? And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. I want you to go, but you're not alone. I'll be with you. What's he saying to Jeremiah? I am with thee. What did he say to Moses? Certainly, I will be with thee. Whenever he calls, he never says go without saying, I will go with you. Even when he was reminding Jeremiah, or Joshua, go to Joshua chapter 1. One of my favorite verses, Joshua 1:9. Even here, when he's calling Joshua to take over from Moses to lead God's people into the promised land, to take the land that God had already promised. Look what he says here in Joshua 1:9. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid. There it is again. Neither be thou dismayed. Why? For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Isn't that great? You don't need to fear because I am with you wherever you go, Joshua. And Joshua had his work cut out for him, didn't he? They're already rebels. They're already hesitant to take the land. So Joshua, and we could go on and on. Every Old Testament person that was called to do something special for God, God said, go and I'll go with you. Jesus, go and I'll go with you. So God says, don't be afraid, and I'll go with you. But you know what? He goes even further. Look at Jeremiah 1:9. This is exciting. He says, not only will I go with you, verse 9, then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, behold, I put my words in thy mouth. He says, not only will I go with you, I'll even help you with the words. So how can we then give an excuse that we can't do it? If God says he'll be with us and even help us with the words. What we're really saying is God can't do it then. And of course we know that is not true. He told Moses, I know that you have a bit of a speech impediment and I'll be with your mouth. He tells Jeremiah, I'll put my words in your mouth. Folks, we have something they didn't have. We have the permanent indwelling and the sealing of the Holy Ghost. God lives in us. We are his temple. And he's promised, if you go to John 14:26, to be there and to help us with the words. Look at John 14:26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. The Holy Ghost is going to indwell you. Of course, that started at Pentecost. And when he does, he's going to what? Teach you and help you to remember what you need to say. Now, if the creator of the universe has already promised to be inside of us and help us know what to say, then how can we say, I can't do it? Think about that. You think God's not capable of fulfilling this promise that he'll teach us, that he'll help us to remember? Other places, Jesus even said that he would help us with the words when we're persecuted. To stand for God. He says to Jeremiah, I put my words in thy mouth. I've given you the words. And when you open your mouth to speak, it'll be me speaking. That's the same with us, isn't it? If we're being led by the Holy Spirit who indwells us. The Bible says in Acts 4, they were filled with the Holy Ghost. And what? They spake the word of God with boldness. Acts 4:31. The Holy Ghost is there to be with our mouth, to give us the words. And then God went one step further with Jeremiah. Look what he says in verse 10 of Jeremiah 1. I have set thee this day over the nations and over the kingdoms. Wow. Think about what he's telling him. Don't fear. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to put my words in your mouth. And by the way, Jeremiah, I know things are really bad in Israel right now, but they need the prophecies that you're going to give. So I am now empowering you to essentially be stronger than the nations and the kingdoms of the world. Think about what that says. So how can he be afraid if God has now said, if I'm with you, nobody can hurt you. Isn't that something? Look at Isaiah 54:17. He gave a similar promise here to Isaiah. He gave a similar promise to David. He gave a similar promise to Paul. Isaiah 54, look at verse 17. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and the righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. No weapon. If God is on our side, If God has called us to do something, he's going to not only protect us and empower us and give us the words, it doesn't matter what the weapon is. Is God more powerful than the weapon? Yeah. That's what he's telling Jeremiah. I'm now with you, which means you don't even have to be concerned about entire nations and kingdoms, which will be against what you have to say. It's okay because I am with you. David said in Psalm 118:6, I will not fear. The Lord is on my side. What can man do unto me? What's the worst that man can do to me but send me to heaven? Amen? It's true. And then Romans 8, let's look there quickly, verse 31. And so when God calls his children to do something, he already knows us. He has a special plan for us, and he's disappointed if we try to back out. He says, I want you to do it. I want you to go, but don't be afraid, because I'll be with you. I'll give you the words, and I'll even protect you. Romans 8:31, look what it says. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? It's a rhetorical question, because the answer is nobody. If the creator of the universe, the all omnipotent God, is for us, then no one can be against us. Then what are we afraid of? You see? That's why he tells us that fear didn't come from him. That spirit of fear comes from the one who doesn't want you to fulfill God's plan, the devil. And he uses fear all the time to keep God's children from carrying out God's plan for their lives. How foolish. And I believe there'll be a lot of regrets in heaven of what we could have done, what could have been accomplished if we had just set out and done what God called us to do. Believe that he was with us, believe that he would protect us, believe he would give us the words and use us. You know, when you go to witness to someone, you and God make a majority, amen? So what are you afraid of? When you go to preach, you and God make a majority. So what are you afraid of? Think about it. If God's on your side, and he is, if you're carrying out his plan, he's definitely on your side. So you've got the all-powerful one standing next to you saying, what are you afraid of? I'm there. I'm going to give you the words. I'm going to protect you. I don't care what kind of weapon they have. I'm going to protect you. Because I'm on your side. Because I want you to fulfill what I've called you to do. And you know the good news is Jeremiah didn't try to pull a Jonah and say, I hear you, Lord, but I'm going this way. No, he said, okay, Lord, I hear you. I'll do it. And he did it. And he went out and became one of God's greatest prophets to Israel. Started off trying to make excuses, saying, I'm just a child, can't speak well. God stepped in and said, Jeremiah, I already know you. I already know your weaknesses. I have a plan for your life. I want you to go. And I want you to fulfill what I've called you to do. I'll be with you. I'll give you the words and I'll protect you. Jeremiah said, let's do this. Amen? That's what we all need to do. We need to just say to God, yes, I understand what you want for me. I'm going to do it. Because you'll be with me. You'll give me the words. You'll protect me. What excuse can we offer? There isn't one, is there? If God be for us, who can be against us? He said to Jeremiah, thou shalt go. I hope that we would be willing to say, yes, Lord, I'll go. And I'll do what you've called me to do. Now, there might be someone in this service, be honest and say, the truth is, I believe in God, but I'm not sure that I'm born again, going to heaven. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You must be born again, he said in John chapter 3. If that's not you, if you're not born again yet, Jesus died and rose again so that you could be. because we're all sinners and deserve hell, but Christ paid the payment for our sin when he died on Calvary. 3 days later, he rose again and said, I have the power over death, and offers us eternal life. But we have to be willing to admit we're sinners, to repent, and come to Christ, and ask him to save us, and he promised that he would. And I hope that you'd be willing to do that today if you're not sure you're saved. Christian, what does God want from you? What's his plan for your life? I hope you know the answer to that. And if you don't, you need to find it. If you do, you need to fulfill it. No excuses allowed. Amen. Thou shalt go. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your precious word. Thank you for this beautiful, beautiful story from the early life of Jeremiah. And thank you that he went and fulfilled your plan for his life. And I pray, Lord, that each one of us would not make excuses, not be afraid, but we would be willing to go forward and do what you've called us to do, knowing that you'll be with us, you'll give us the word, you'll protect us. I pray, Lord, this would be reality for each of us, that we wouldn't just assent with our minds, but that we would get up and go. So thank you for speaking to our hearts. We are so blessed to be your children, and we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand if we could.